Today is Sunday, May 25th, 2026. This is your FinTech briefing for Macro Observer. In the next 8 minutes, we'll cover the fiscal dominance trap constraining the Federal Reserve's options, how hyperscaler AI spending is quietly distorting S&P 500 earnings quality, and how platform companies like Google and OpenAI are building financial infrastructure that could strip tens of billions in annual revenue from incumbent banks. For the first time in modern history, the United States federal government is spending more on interest payments than on national defense. Let that land for a moment. With federal debt exceeding $36 trillion and annual interest payments now surpassing $1 trillion, we have entered what macro analyst Tim Carson of Chi Volatility Advisors calls a fiscal dominance trap, and it is the defining constraint on monetary policy for the next decade. The mechanics here matter for every financial institution doing balance sheet planning right now. The Federal Reserve estimates its neutral rate at somewhere between 2.5 and 3%. But the 10-year Treasury is yielding 4.6%, and independent analysts, including Jeffrey Gundlach and Stanley Druckenmiller, place the structural inflation floor at 3 to 4% for the 2025 to 2035 window. The Fed is caught. Raise rates aggressively to fight structural inflation, and you risk a debt service crisis on $36 trillion in federal obligations. Cut rates, and you risk reigniting the inflation you're trying to suppress. That policy paralysis is not a temporary condition. It is the operating environment. The broader fintech pattern here is that this rate regime creates a direct actuarial constraint on asset pricing. The Shiller Cape currently sits at approximately 37 times, more than double its historical average of 17 times. GMO's 150-year data set, cited by Carson, places 10-year forward nominal equity returns in the negative 2 to positive 2% range. That is not a bear case forecast. That is a base case constraint with direct implications for bank balance sheets, pension liability modeling, and fintech valuation multiples across the industry. Building on that, the Irving Fisher equation applied by Lance Roberts at Thoughtful Money places 10-year Treasury fair value at approximately 5%, given real GDP growth of 2.5 to 3% plus CPI of 2.5 to 3%. At 4.5% today, yields represent modest undervaluation rather than a crisis signal, but there is meaningful upside risk. Geopolitical disruption scenarios in the Strait of Hormuz introduce 50 to 100 basis points of additional yield pressure through the third quarter of 2025 alone. Looking at the regulatory landscape on the monetary policy side, there is a second-order risk that deserves serious attention from Treasury and ALM teams. Mark Thornton at the Ludwig von Mises Institute has flagged two proposals attributed to incoming Federal Reserve Chair Kevin Warsh. First, a CPI methodology revision that would mechanically reduce headline inflation from 3.5% or above toward 2.5 to 3%. Second, and far more structurally significant, potential yield curve control, or YCC. If YCC is implemented, it would represent the most consequential monetary policy change since quantitative easing. The directly applicable analog is Japan. Under the Bank of Japan's YCC regime from 2016 to the present, Japanese banks experienced net interest margin compression of 40 to 60 basis points over 5 years. For U.S. institutions modeling their own NIMA trajectories, that is not an abstract historical footnote. It is a scenario that requires immediate stress testing. Financial institutions with CPI-indexed contracts, inflation-linked securities portfolios, or ALM models built on free market yield curve assumptions are looking at legal and systems review costs estimated at $5 to $15 million per Tier 1 institution under a YCC adoption scenario. Now to the earnings quality distortion that is embedded in almost every bank investment portfolio and credit underwriting model currently operating in the market. Here is the core problem. Anthropic's valuation inflected from $380 billion in the first quarter of 2025 to an estimated $900 billion in a concurrent funding round. That single move generated mark-to-market gains of approximately $50 billion at Microsoft and Amazon alone. Per Jim Bianco's analysis via Wealthion, this accounting effect contributed roughly 10 percentage points to S&P 500 index-level earnings per share growth. First quarter 2025 reported EPS growth came in at 27% year-over-year. Organic performance, closer to 17%. The gap is accounting mechanics, not business fundamentals, and it will reverse when valuations correct. More importantly, the CapEx trajectory driving these valuations is itself decelerating. The combined hyperscaler spend, Microsoft, Google, Amazon, Meta, and Apple, ran at $220 billion in 2024 and is estimated at $320 billion for 2025. By 2026 and 2027, the growth rate decelerates from 45% year-over-year down to approximately 22%. That deceleration compresses the forward earnings estimate revision momentum that is the primary driver of current elevated equity multiples. CoreWeave's 6% asset-backed GPU financing at six-year terms represents the first institutionalized AI compute lending category, a structurally new asset class that bank credit teams are only beginning to underwrite. The most material systemic risk to incumbent financial institutions over the next 18 to 36 months, however, is not macro. It is competitive displacement, and it is happening faster than most executive teams are modeling. Platform AI companies are not building products that sit adjacent to banking. They are building financial infrastructure layers. OpenAI's Plaid-linked ChatGPT financial assistant now connects to 12,000 or more financial institutions, serving an estimated 100 million or more U.S. consumers. That is a non-bank entity with direct permissioned access to the most sensitive financial behavioral dataset in existence. The CFPB's Section 1033 Personal Financial Data Rights Rule, finalized October 2024, is what makes this legally bulletproof. Banks cannot erect commercial barriers to this competitive channel. The regulation mandates machine-readable data portability, with compliance required for institutions above $500 billion in assets by April 2026. Google's response is equally aggressive in a different direction. The Universal Cart and Agent Payments Protocol, announced at Google I/O 2026, insert Google as the primary commerce orchestration layer, shifting merchant relationship and purchase intent data custody away from issuing banks and toward the platform. Conservative estimates place cross-sell revenue at risk at $10 to $25 billion annually across the U.S. banking industry if platform AI agents capture the primary financial advisory interface for 10 to 15% of banking customers within 5 years. Building on that, the agent payments protocol's potential to route transactions through FedNow's $0.045 per transaction rails versus card network economics could compress card fee pools by $30 to $50 billion annually if agent-directed payments capture 15 to 20% of e-commerce volume over 5 years. The cost structure shift accelerating this threat is just as significant. Gemini 3.5 Flash is now priced at $0.15 per million input tokens versus $5 for comparable frontier models 18 months ago. That is a 10 to 20 times compression in AI infrastructure cost for fintech challengers in 24 months. The technology budget moat that previously favored well-capitalized incumbents has effectively been eliminated. On the opportunity side, the most structurally significant addressable market in global fintech over the 2026 to 2035 horizon is African financial infrastructure. 57% of 1.4 billion African adults, approximately 800 million people, remain unbanked, while $1.5 trillion or more in annual mobile money transactions already flows through informal rails. Nigeria's naira depreciated approximately 70% against the U.S. dollar between 2022 and 2024, creating rational, not speculative, structural demand for USD-denominated stablecoin savings. SWIFT GPI now settles over 50% of African cross-border transactions in under 24 hours, but fees remain $15 to $50 per transaction versus sub $1 for stablecoin rails. That gap represents a $3.2 billion annual wealth transfer from African households to intermediaries. Paga's $11 billion in annual processing across 169 million transactions in 2024, combined with its SWIFT partnership and Sui blockchain integration, is the early institutional-grade proof of concept for what captures that opportunity at scale. FinTech thesis update for today. Three things shifted in the industry outlook. First, the fiscal dominance trap is now the baseline operating environment for bank balance sheet planning, not a tail risk scenario. Second, earnings quality distortion from AI mark-to-market mechanics is systemic enough to require explicit adjustment in credit underwriting models and investment portfolio risk frameworks. Third, the Section 1033 compliance deadline for top-tier institutions in April 2026 is not a regulatory checkbox. It is the legal infrastructure that enables platform AI companies to disintermediate bank customer relationships at scale. Institutions that treat it as a compliance exercise rather than a competitive event will be caught flat-footed. Thank you for listening. That is your FinTech Briefing for Macro Observer, Watching the Rails. Until tomorrow. That's your core brief for today. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with more.